Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's been a long road. I don't know where it's gonna take me. Oh no, I got faith. My fam, my loved ones, my block, my people. So love. It's a struggle. You just gotta keep up, keep rocking, keep your eyes on the prize. The other foot in front of you. You never know what life will take you, man. Ride with me.
Back in the 70s, dad jumped the boulder. A little earlier, my grandma raised a daughter. A beautiful thing, she was a ghetto flower. Caught a young man's attention with her power. It was love at first sight, I saw she thought. But a couple months later, he left her with a broken heart. Young and naive, only 17. About to have a young mouth to feed. Head down, she could feel the shame. A couple months later, labor pains. She looked down in her new son's eyes. A flashy smile, as big as the skies. Pops gave her being a man to try. Which is a mechanic, mama of a Burger King. Meanwhile, late at night, she was studying. She did a thing and she got an degree. It's just all in one life.
Good evening to the Diamond on the Rough show with Ordinary Woman and Mountain Man.
Hey, how are you? Good evening, everyone. Hope everybody's doing great on this freezing Wednesday night. Had a great Christmas. Hope everything went well. And we're here on the last Wednesday of 2009. I can't believe the year's almost all over.
I know. I can't believe it either. So, for all our listeners, what's on the agenda for this evening's show there, Charlie?
Well, I figure we've had a few emails that have been piling up, so we might as well answer those questions and get it out. And I figure we could recap in the past 3 months about what we've done, where we're going, where the show's headed, and just I know a lot of exciting things coming up, so we figure we can do that. And excuse me if I sound a little distracted. I'm rummaging through emails. The other thing, too, is that I want to remind everybody this is the last Wishful Wednesday of the year, 2009.
Aww.
Yes. And for some people, it's a sad thing. For some people, it's a good thing. They've had a not particularly great year. It's a time that they go, oh, thank goodness the year's over and I can get on with life. Maybe a new fresh start. For other people, it's been an amazing year, so they're really not that excited about the year leaving.
Right, right.
But I really want to really emphasize the whole philosophy of the Diamond in the Rough show, and especially Wishful Wednesdays. It's more about a way for us to reevaluate ourselves, because I'm kind of tired of that whole hump day kind of thing where it's, oh, God, it's hump day, it's Wednesday. The middle of the week, and people just can't wait for the rest of the week to be over. Instead, I want it to be a time for you to reflect on your wishes and your desires,
mm-hmm.
where you want your life to go, what you'd
right.
like to do or not do, and figure a way to get where you want to go, to figure out what you need to do to turn your life around
mm-hmm.
and make it the kind of life you want. Or maybe you just want to reach out to somebody that you might have a disagreement with or haven't spoken to in a while or just lost contact with. You want to reach out there and say, hey, what's going on? I love you. I miss you. Let's get back to where we were. Whatever it takes, because I firmly believe it's never too late.
Right.
So instead of sitting there and wishing about it, wake up, get going, write down what you need to
do. Let's do something about it.
And do something, exactly. We got to take some action in here.
Well, I know one of our days that over this next year we are keeping, and that's the Motivational Mondays.
We are. We're keeping Motivational Mondays because everybody needs to be motivated on Mondays. And we're going to try the Tuesday-Thursday schedule, see how that goes. The only reason we're moving the schedule around is because we know, Mountain Man and I both know, that we have so many guests lined up coming for next year that eventually it's going to be a Monday through Friday show. But we're just trying to figure out the demographics, the times, because I know we're also going to a two-hour segment
mm-hmm.
starting in 2010. So we'll be having two or three guests every show. So we'll see how it goes. And then from there, we'll expand. I mean, we do hope and we pray and we kind of feel that that's where it's going, that this is going to be a full-time show. It's going to be on Monday
right.
through Friday. with eventually we'll have specials on holidays and weekends and that kind of thing. And it's getting big. It's going to grow. And I have a feeling that Mountain Man and I are going to be very busy in 2010 with this show and some
yes.
other projects that I have in the works. So it's an exciting time for us. So we're moving all the times around, and I hope we don't confuse people. Luckily, we have loyal fans that keep joining us. Betty, thank you for coming back. Bob in the chat room, JJ, Mary, and Roxanne. Hi, Roxanne, new one in the chat room. Nice of you to stop by. Yeah, so what about you, Mountain Man? What are you looking forward to? What's going on with you?
Well, I am looking forward to 2010. I am thankful that the end of 2009, I've gotten through a lot of my struggles, and I'm just hoping that, and wishing that we have a great 2010, and I would like to reiterate a lot of what you had said, and just, I feel that we have a lot of stuff happening with the show and everything, and I also would like to say hello to everybody that's in our chat room, and a few more that may pop in later on down the road in the show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure who's going to be popping in, but I hope they do pop in. I'm also praying that my chair will be coming in, my new chair. I'm getting a new chair to help me get around town a little bit better, which I'm hoping that will come in before the end of the January.
Now, what kind of chair are you getting?
A power chair. A power to be able to get me around in the bad weather, like winters and stuff. And just all in all, be able to help to get me around. Because as a lot of you listeners know, that I am a person with a disability, and I am in a wheelchair, and it is hard for me to get around a lot in a manual chair in the winter time. So I have done some major work to be able to get the power chair. I've had to go through a lot of appointments and everything. So it's going to be an awesome, awesome time this next year or so.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, there's just a feeling in the air for me that things are just expanding and growing, and it just seems like, I don't know, things are really moving along, and it seems to be an amazing time for people to try new things and go out there and explore, and I don't know, it just seems that 2010, it seems to be like it's just going to be that year for me. It's the end of a decade, some of the things we're going to talk about in a few minutes.
Yeah.
And,
I mean,
yeah,
I just saw
it just seems like there's an ability to be able to start new things and do. Just,
yeah, and there's
know,
been a lot of hype about 2010. There really has, and I've seen it on the news and stuff.
Because it's the end of a decade. I mean, and that's a big deal. However, you happen to measure a 10-year time, and you have to realize the last 10 years, we as a country, and as a people, have really gone through a lot. I mean, we actually have, I don't know, just 9/11 comes to mind. I mean, we lost over 3,000 people on our own shore. We got attacked on our own soil.
I mean, I was thinking about that,
war.
Too. I really was, because I've actually, especially on 9/11, I've had some friends pass on, unfortunately, due to whatever happened, and I really don't want to bring those memories back, but I do pray for those families who have had loved ones in that time of unfortunate times there, I guess is what I'm saying. And I just really pray for those people. And I just really wish that a lot of the higher officials would get their acts together and just be able to bring a lot of those folks that are overseas back home for 2010.
It's been a tough year because a lot of people, like you said, they've lost loved ones. It's But you know, it's funny though, because I noticed that the news focused a lot on the negative, and they kind of keep saying that the negative has been more than the positive, because we had Katrina, we had 9/11, we had all the tsunamis in other parts of the world, we had the crash of the economy, and all these people that lost their money and their homes and stuff. But by the same token, I see the good that came out of it. People don't take the time to notice that, especially the media, because good news do not sell newspapers. We all know that. People just want to see what's bad, and that's what it's all about. But the reality is that I happen to think that there's been a closeness coming through people now. I notice that people now that are in a economic bind, they happen to have cut back, and they're getting back to the basics, which is the reality of family. A lot of people have gotten a misconception that family is about how much money you can put in your kid's wallet or how many electronics you can put in his backpack or her backpack. That's
right.
What it's about. I mean, I can tell you countless stories of kids that have any amount of money, have access to the latest gadgets. They're not happy. Yet you have kids that aren't that well off, but their parents love them. They're always there for them. They're hanging out with them. And that's what a real parent is about. That's what's important to a child, not what you can buy them. It's not the quantity of time, because there's parents that will be with their kids 24/7, but don't do anything with them. Don't talk to them. Don't relate to them. Then you have the parent that they might work a lot of hours. They might be there all the time in the factory or in the office, but the time that they have with their child is such a quality time that you could tell. And not because he's my son, and I have to mention this, because it's just my family was visiting this past week, and my son and his wife from Philly were here. And it
I missed that time.
I know. We didn't get to see them. And a lot of people will see my grandson. He's 18 months old, and people forget that he's only 18 months old, because he's just so, and not because, I'm not saying he's a genius or any of that, but because he gets so much intellectual, emotional, and interaction from his parents that as an 18-month-old, people think he's older. They think he's three or that, you know, or four because of the things he says.
Right.
I know, for example, it was so funny. We have the old type, you see in my house, the old-fashioned radiators. And you know, when they're on, they get hot.
Yep.
And my grandson was walking around, and he went to he pointed at it, and I said, no, don't touch that. It's hot. And I went to put my hand out to block him walking any closer. Well, he grabs my hand and says, no, Grammy, danger.
Oh, and your house is a vintage, is it a vintage style?
My house is kind of like a modified colonial. I think it was a colonial back in the day, and then they kind of did some modernization. So it kind of took away the colonial look on the outside, but it's still looking like a colonial on the inside.
Okay.
Like a colonial
I wanted to try to and the reason why I was asking that is for some clarification so people that are listening kind of understood the why you were saying what you were saying, I guess, is what I was getting at, if that makes
sense.
Yeah,
and that's the funny thing. It's like the way he navigates around my house, and like in this example I just gave you here, I'm thinking, okay, I have to watch out. He's so little. Yet he understood what it was. His parents had explained to him. His parents didn't have this mentality of like, well, when he touches it, it's hot, he'll burn himself, he won't do that again, or to be, you know, hitting him or reprimanding him. They educate him. Like, he knows that that's dangerous. He knows the difference. He understands the concept of sharing. My son and his wife are having another baby next year, and he understands the concept of sharing. Like, I gave him a cookie, and he's so cute. He has one in his left hand, and he says, Grammy, and he points to the other hand and says, Vidi, and that's the dog's nickname. So what he did
is
Vidi.
Vidi.
So he's got to have a Vita. Yeah, so he wanted a cookie in both hands. One was for him and one was for his dog. And just to see the relationship he has with the dog, how loving and caring he is with the dog, how loving and caring he is with his parents. And one of the things that I like is that when my son walks in the room, now my son works 40 hours a week. He goes to school at night, so the time that he gets to spend with his son right now is very limited during the week. On the weekend, they're always together, but during the week. As soon as my son walks in the door, my grandson's face just lights up, and he just runs across the room, "Daddy!" and just jumps on his leg and wants him to pick him up. And to see that a lot of boys are mama's boys. They want the mom. That's the, not him. He has the same type of attachment and relationship with both his dad and his mom. And what I've noticed now with the recession and everything is that a lot of people are getting back to that. So realizing it wasn't about the huge paycheck or the big house or the fancy toys. It was about spending time with the people around you.
Right.
Who are they? What are you know what I mean? That was what was important, and I noticed that more of that is happening now.
And that's a good thing. And that is
it
a
is.
Good thing. I just opened up our chat room, and I want to say a quick hello to Cassidy McDonald and Robert. I saw you two pop in, so I want to say a quick hello to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And please feel free, if you guys have any comments, type them into the chat room there, or and I'm going to let Charlie go in on her other spiel there.
Now, Cassandra McDonald, nice of you to stop by. She actually has a show on Blog Talk Radio as well for our listeners. So make sure you check her out. Monk Man was telling me there was some good stuff going on. Monk Man, you want to tell us a little bit about what you listened to and happened to catch on when you stopped by Cassandra's show?
Well, I stopped by earlier this evening or this afternoon, and I stopped in on Cassandra's show. And Cassandra is a very, very awesome person. She has it's hard to explain her show, and I hope that she will kind of type in there. But it's a very open.
And you were saying it was very uplifting and very inspirational for you. You liked the fact of the way it was set up and the things they talked about.
Yeah, and she does a spiritual type show.
Oh, I'm there. Anything that uplifts
me
or inspires me, I am so there. There's not enough of those.
And I think she may call in, and if she does, that's great. But I really would love to have her on our show. And exactly, she does a religious show, which is very inspiring. And her talk today, I cannot remember the title of the show, but it was just very moving, and I could connect to what she was saying and kind of go along with, like you and I do, Charlie. We go along with.
Honestly, I have to tell you, Chris, whenever people talk about God and his teachings, you can't go wrong.
Exactly.
As long as it's being used in an uplifting and spiritual way, because I have to be very leery. There are some people that like to use God and his words for their own means. But any time there's a show like you were telling me about Cassandra, how she moves you, just the spiritualness of it, which is kind of funny because it's kind of like what I was just talking about. I noticed that when we as Americans and we as people go through rough times, that's when you see the true nature of someone. They're either going to turn to God, and instead of saying, why me, or why, they turn around and say, okay, what can I learn from this? How can I help others that are less fortunate? And I'm telling you, in the last 10 years, a lot of bad things happened to the United States, but so many good things happened too. I mean, just the fact that when Hurricane Katrina happened, everybody felt that the government dropped the ball, but it wasn't just about the government. It was about the other people that stepped up to the plate. The stories that came up about people sharing the food, people making sure that churches were opened up, that if one church got destroyed, another church from another faith would open up their doors to let them use their halls. I mean, I remember a friend of mine telling me that there was a Mormon church, an LDS church, in the particular part down in New Orleans, that they were on high ground, so they were fine. Their members had brought all types of food in. Well, there was another church that was in lower grounds. I forget what faith they were, and their church was destroyed. And the LDS church said, come on down. So they moved their meetings on Sundays around so that these people could use their building. And it's not just that because the Mormons are greater than anybody else. It was just one of the examples. But that happened over and over again. There was a Jewish synagogue that let a Christian denomination use their building for worship. There was stories of interdenominational people coming together where, okay, our buildings are gone, so we're going to have services together. That's what brings out when you have a spiritual base. And it's so important when people like Cassandra are out there sharing that message to make us realize that there is a purpose. It's not just because God's mad at us or God's mean. He's not. God is not this mean little boy with a giant magnifying glass, just shining it, and we're not the little ants that he's trying to put on fire. That's not what it's about. That's what the devil would like us to think.
Yeah.
That's definitely what he wants us to think, but it's not.
And I'd like to bring her on because she is in the wait here.
Awesome.
I really would like to bring her on, if that's all right with you, Charlie.
Absolutely. Bring her in. You're the man with the switchboard.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Hi, Cassandra. How are you?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
This is so exciting.
This is Mountain Man and Charlie Alejandro.
Hi, Cassandra. I've heard some amazing things about you. I'm so glad you called. We were just talking about you. Your ears must have been ringing.
Well, yeah, and I kind of tuned in, too. So I remember both, right? Oh, my goodness. What he told me about you is absolute. Oh, ordinary women, and doing extraordinary things. What an uplifting, in this day and age, we really have got to be back up for one another and let them know you are so valuable just because you're you. And this
exactly.
is amazing.
It is, Cassandra, I am so glad there's women like you, too, because it's like it's just so sad, the stuff that the media is pushing down women's throats, that they're not thin enough, they're not young enough, they're not rich enough, they're not light enough, they're not this and not that, and it's like God doesn't make junk. God created us. We are wonderful creations, and he loved us so much that every single one of us is different.
Absolutely, and my show today was talking about valuing yourself. Like God
awesome.
Values you. And I think that's what Mountain Man jumped in with his comments. I said, the scripture that everyone's familiar with, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, I said, you're that who. You are that who, and you're so valuable to God. And it's time that we start loving ourselves just like he made us, because he did that for a reason. And he's smart. He knows what he's doing.
Oh, yeah. Now, what's the name of your show, and when can listeners tune in?
Oh, okay. It is called It's a Mind Thing. That's the name of the show, and I air live on Wednesdays at 1 o'clock from 1 o'clock to 1:45 p.m. on Wednesday.
Awesome.
It's a Mind Thing. It starts in your mind, where you place your mind, and how you set your mind is how you have your peace of mind, and you have control over that.
It's absolutely true, and that's the other thing that the devil has sold us, this lie that, God doesn't care. What are we focusing on? And that's another thing we were talking on another show, that people are like, I keep getting built. Well, is that all you're focusing on? Or, I keep getting fat. Well, that's all, I don't want to hear about the extra pounds that you're carrying. I wanted to talk about your beautiful eyes and your beautiful smile and the way you nurture people and how sweet you are. And, it's crazy how we forget that. We focus so much on the negative things that we forget all the other amazing gifts. And sometimes I feel so bad. I feel like I'm insulting God because I am one of his masterpieces, and I'm sitting there nitpicking it to death in front of a mirror. It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, we define ourselves by the core of our identity is defined by what people tell us that we are. The things that we own, the places that we go, and the things that we do. I was just asking one of my people that I was talking to the other day, I said, so who are you? Well, I'm a mother, I'm a this. I said, no, those are the things you do. That doesn't define who you are. We don't even stop to ask ourselves, well, who am I? What makes me unique? What do I bring to the face of the earth that I was so uniquely made that no one else can do?
Right.
But we don't value ourselves enough to even think of that. Everybody has bills. Everybody has fat. Everybody has. But what's unique about you that makes you so special?
That is so true. And that's one of the things, Mountain Man, I like about my co-host is that when he talks to people, he says, I am a person with disabilities. He doesn't say,
right.
I'm disabled.
I'm
handy. Yes. Huh. And it's just, it's so motivational for me to hear that because of the fact that he's, like you said, he's a person first. And he does so many things that I get tired just thinking about it. And he doesn't identify himself by those things.
No. No, and the Lord asked me to ask women, and I've been interviewing even strangers, because I love strangers, candidly. What was your childhood dream? What did you want to be? Most women that are over the age of 50 or so that I've interviewed, they don't remember. They're so inundated with the things that they've done, servicing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a mother, I've done this. I said, but, okay, I want to talk about you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no one ever talks about me.
You know, that is so
true.
And it's funny. Yeah, and you know, it's funny because that's kind of like my tagline, don't let anybody steal your dreams away. That's what I sign off with. And it's so true because it's like, yeah, don't ever do that. And you're right. Women in particular do that. Like guys, I notice they're still weekend warriors. They'll go out and play sports on the weekends and they have their little midlife crisis that aren't always a bad thing. It's very good to have a midlife crisis as long as you know what the crisis is about and where you're going with it, not just because you want to be full of drama. But it's just the fact that you're absolutely right. And if we don't have dreams, that's so sad.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I'm
what was your assignment as a child? What dream, what passion did you have? And don't die until you do it. I refuse to.
You know, that is so true.
And see, Charlie, I was really talking our show up a bunch. And the one thing that she's not mentioned is I pointed her to your site.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And your site on the show here, she was absolutely amazed with.
Electrifying. I said, she's got a purpose, a dream, a drive, and a passion, and she's going for it. She's not talking about doing
you.
Like a 2-hour show here. I mean, girlfriend is going to be global. So
I'm telling you,
so inspiring.
You know, thank you. You know what's funny? It's funny, Cassandra, because Mountain Man and I have talked about that. We've been talking about having this show for a while, and I remember my concept was I wanted so-called ordinary people because to me it was an oxymoron because there is no such thing. And I remember even my own family saying to me, well, who's going to want to listen to, like, average people? That's kind of boring. But then when we got the concept right, and Mountain Man can tell you, we wind up with people like you and Mountain Man and all these other amazing guests that we've had. There is nothing ordinary about these people whatsoever.
Now, how? No.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll tell you something, my little secret. My show's been on a year. Guess what? I didn't tell anyone. For a whole year, no one knew. Hello. And I hope your listeners hear that. When you have a dream and a passion, it comes from God. Every good and perfect gift, whether you acknowledge it or not, comes from God because he's a giver of good. And, he's designed your personality. Your passion, there may be some problems in your personality that need to process, but it's in there, like Prego, it's in there. And he's designed all that around your purpose. And your purpose is designed around your passion. So when I decided finally to do, I was pushed doing this show, and then the Lord started beating me. I'm like, okay, you win, Jesus. So I said, I'm not telling anybody because you know what? I'm not interested in your opinion about what my assignment is.
Right.
I don't want your influence. I don't want your comments. I said, I'm just going to put it out there, and whoever God sends, I'll know it came from God.
Mm-hmm.
Now my family and friends know. And they said, why did you tell me? I said, it was just an assignment from God that I was assigned to do, so I did it. I didn't need an amen.
That is so true. And the thing it is, and you know what gets me, Cassandra, is the fact that sometimes people think that, okay, God doesn't really know me. I mean, God's not going to go out of his way. Okay, number one, God, nothing is impossible to him. So if God literally has to move a mountain to go, hello, here I am, I know you're there, I love you, that's nothing to him. That's like me moving my pen from one side of my desk to the other.
Mm-hmm.
God loves us that much that he do that. So even if I do, if Mountain Man and I do the show and it's just for you and I to connect or for someone else to listen, one person, hear it, that's how much God loves us. And like you
said. I have a little saying. The Lord always gives me one. Each year it says, God can, this one is, okay, let me know. Oh, God owns all time, all space, everybody, and everything, and he will move it for just one.
That just is so true.
One.
Oh, I got shivers thinking about that.
Just, I mean, I tell him, I'm like, Joshua is no better than me. You stop the sun for him. I'm your child. I'm his equal. I need
you
to move this.
Woo!
Hezekiah prayer? Oh, please. I'm your child just like Hezekiah.
It's so true.
Two people, we have a leap year. Excuse me. Because the sun stood still. I said, you are my God, and I'm your child just like them. And all he requires is that you believe him.
Right.
It's so true. And, you know, it's
so
funny because everybody's like, yeah, and people are like, oh, well, they're prophets. Well, they weren't always prophets. They had problems and issues, and they were sinners just like the rest of us. You know, they weren't always perfect. So
they were never
what you
perfect.
Could do.
Even while they were prophets, they were never perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's only one perfect. We try.
Exactly.
We're just not that good.
See,
no,
and that's so true.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, that is so true. And that's why it blows my mind that people think that, oh, well, you know, those are chosen people. We're all chosen people.
Yeah.
We're all chosen to do something. It depends on us if we actually go through and do it.
Mm-hmm. He said, if you ask me, I'll do it. And if you don't, I won't. It's real simple.
And God's not going to hate us. He might be a little disappointed for like a half a second. And then he goes, all right, listen, you know, you want to learn your lesson in a good way. We learn our lesson, and it just makes us stronger. It's so true. Cassandra, I am so glad you called. This is such an amazing street. I'm so definitely going to have to listen to your show.
Please. This is, and I don't want to take over the whole show, but I praise the Lord for you, and I thank you. It excited me the whole day talking with you.
Oh, thanks.
Lord, you are such a purposeful God, you know. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then
I do,
on your
too.
Place, oh, my gosh.
Thank
you
very much, Cassandra, for coming on our show.
And
we
to
really
our listeners, that was
you.
Oh yeah, and for our listeners, that was Cassandra McDonald. She's got a show called "It's a Mind Thing" on Wednesdays between 1 and 1:45 p.m. Do not miss it. Make sure you tune into her, and you get to hear more of her amazing tidbits and her amazing spirit. And thank you so much for stopping by. It totally made my night.
Be blessed and happy New Year.
Sure, happy New Year. We'll definitely be talking again. I'm going to hit you up so we can have you on for the whole hour.
Oh, that would be cool.
And a quick question, Cassandra. Is there anyone who you'd like to give a shout-out to?
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
We always do this. We always say at the end of it, is there anybody who you'd love to give a shout-out to?
Oh, my children. Of course, my children. My five children. I have one daughter and four boys. And my daughter's Spanish-speaking. So to all of her Spanish-speaking community, especially.
Oh, that's awesome.
God bless them. Yes. And she loves teaching, and she does another job at Sears just so she can communicate with the Spanish community to make them feel comfortable when they're shopping.
That's awesome.
It's a blessing. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Cool.
That's awesome. You have some amazing kids. We're gonna have to have them on the show too.
Oh wow.
So thank you so much, Cassandra. Thank you. God
thank
bless.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Love you both. Bye bye.
Oh, thanks, hon. Bye bye. Oh, my goodness. How amazing is that? See, that's what people don't get why I enjoy doing this, because I get to communicate with people like you and Cassandra and all the other countless that we've had on the show. I mean, what an amazing spirit. And, I mean, you could just feel it right through the phone lines when she talks, and you could just feel the spirit of the Lord with you. Oh, my gosh. Amazing.
And what you just got, and I hope you look at your other screen, just FYI. That, what you felt, is what I felt earlier today.
Oh, it is. It's amazing. It is. It's really an amazing, amazing feeling. I have to tell you, though, it blows my mind how things happen for a reason. And that's another reason that I love doing what I do, the diamond in the rough, real quick. Any of our people in the chat room, anybody listening, if you want to call in, it's 347-989-1473. That's the call-in line. If you want to call, make a comment, question, concern, share a story, don't be shy, call on in. Or you can go to our website, blogtalkradio.com, / or / one of the two, Ordinary Woman. Woman is spelled WMN. And you can go into our chat room. You can listen to the show. Whatever you want to do, just come on down and join us. We're recapping the year 2009 and the last 3 months that we've had the show and some of the amazing people that we've had the opportunity to have on the show and some of the emails that we've received in the last few months.
Here's my question. Are we going to be able to get it in the next 24 minutes?
We should. If not, I will give the listeners a special treat and we'll extend for another half hour if possible. So if you want, Chris, I would love to hear some of your feedback as far as some of the guests we've got. If you could, you know, share with us for like the next 5 to 10 minutes, just some of the people that we've had on the show that have inspired you, have motivated you, and while you're doing that, I can get into the switchboard and do some magic here. So share a little bit of with some of the guests that you were impressed with or just...
The first person I have to start with is Cassandra. Mm-hmm. Cassandra inspired me so much today to be able to try to make the show happen as far as I could help to get the show going here, because mm-hmm. it is just an awesome, awesome thing that I did today. And it just helped me to be more open and more be able to look out at a situation a little bit more and get more in-depth into that situation if I have to.
Now, and I would like for you to just kind of embellish on that a little bit, because a lot of our listeners listen to you the way you are now. They hear mm-hmm. you on the air. You talk to people. You're funny. You have great questions. You're very observant. You have a great way with people. And you don't have a problem talking to people that literally you haven't met until that particular second when you start the interview with them. You weren't always like that, though.
No, I wasn't. But I've learned over my years, and this goes out to a lot of the listeners, okay? There have been a lot of you listeners and guests that have been on our show that has really helped me to overcome one of my greatest fears, and that's being able to talk on a show like this to just average people like you and me, and just being able to look at doing a show. Because I never, before Charlie approached me, I never once thought about doing a show like this. And I had did some performances out in there in my life, but I just wanted to be able to say, I took a moment and I said, okay, I need to be more receptive to people and look at them for who they are and not what they are or how they are. And for instance, with mm-hmm. little kids, like you were talking about earlier, Charlie,
mm-hmm.
about your grandson there
mm-hmm.
at the house and all that. I look at that, and they are our next generation in the line of family. Okay. They have a very inquisitive mind, and I look at the situation this way. If a little kid comes up to me and asks me, or they ask their parents, why is that guy in a wheelchair? And if I happen to hear that question, I will stop right dead in my tracks, and I will turn to the kid with the parents okay, and I will talk to the kid and tell the kid why I'm in the chair. And I will say, it's just, and if they have a question, how come he's in a chair? And I'll say, it's a way for me to be able to get around, just like yourselves.
Chris, that's so important right there, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but what you're talking about is so important. Some people have this real misconception of handicap being like taboo, like we can't talk about it or it's rude. Why would it be rude? If the kid is pointing and has a question, it's obviously because we as parents haven't addressed that issue yet.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have someone like yourself that's willing to explain to a child why that is, and if we humanize people with disabilities instead of making it like scary or someone we leave alone, a child doesn't understand that. A child says leave him alone, all they think is like he's grumpy or there's something wrong with you. They don't understand that the parent isn't being insensitive. They're trying to be considerate to their feelings, to your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
They're really not doing a good job of it, as opposed to saying, well, that man is in a wheelchair because maybe he had an injury, maybe he was born that way, and if you are willing to explain that to him, it's no longer something that's scary or taboo. It's something that can happen to people, has happened to people.
Exactly.
Again, exactly. And what it does is it makes us realize that this is a person first.
Exactly.
With a disability.
And that's why I try to say I am a person with a disability. I don't say I am just – I don't come out and say I'm disabled. I try to let the person – know that I am a person. Talk to me as a normal human being. Don't talk to me like I'm a child. Sometimes I may act like I'm a child.
We all
and
do.
You may,
and that's a good thing. That is a good thing. But you
that's
know what?
A great
you're absolutely,
thing.
You know, you're absolutely right, because some people, you don't understand the handicaps that are going on. You need to educate yourself. Because
exactly.
The reality is that, for example, I'll give you a perfect example. There is a gentleman that I know, and I have to think for a minute, cerebral palsy. Yeah, cerebral palsy. Oh, it drives me nuts that people talk to him like he's a two-year-old child.
Mm-hmm.
Cerebral palsy affects the body, the neural system.
Exactly.
It doesn't affect your brain. It doesn't affect my intellect. It doesn't affect whether I can hear you. A lot of times when it's really progressed, their mind is alert as ever, trapped inside this body that let them down. It isn't working correctly. Do not add insult to injury by treating them like they're idiots. I mean, I worked in a company where there was this gentleman who had cerebral palsy, one of the most extreme cases I've seen, yet he got around with the aid of a wheelchair. He had the little puff machine, you know, with the straw that helps them move the wheelchair around. And he also had that attached to a machine that helped him communicate. But he was a technician, like an electrical computer science technician.
Yes,
like
I remember you telling me about this one.
Yes, this gentleman had a doctorate. He was a PhD. He designed crazy things that I don't even know how to pronounce, never mind know what they do. Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Yet there was people that would talk over him like he wasn't in the room.
But see, here's my question to you, Charlie, is this. When we first met, and you saw me, what was your first impression of me?
You know, it's funny, and I'm glad you brought that up. For our listeners, I worked a contract for about a year with an organization that helps people with disabilities find jobs. That was my whole thing. And I remember them saying to me, okay, these are going to be your clients, because we don't call them patients or whatever. They're clients, because I provide a service. They're my clients, and that's hitting on the customer service aspect. And they would give me their folders, and I wouldn't read them.
Right.
And they're like, well, don't you need to know? I said, unless there's something that's going to affect me personally as far as are they homicidal maniacs, which they're not, because we wouldn't have them as clients, I didn't read the jacket because I refused to have a preconceived notion. And I remember one of the workers that was leaving, when I got some of her clients, her saying to me, well, I need to warn you about... Stop right there. I said, whatever your opinion is of that person, God love you, it's your opinion. I don't need it. I will get my own. So when I met you, and I remember the only thing I do remember being told about you was that I remember Wendy saying to me, God love Wendy May, sweetest person in the whole world. She said,
she's an awesome
guy.
And we've got to try to get her on the show.
Oh, that would be amazing. But I remember her saying to me, he's really shy and he doesn't take to people that are strangers, to strangers. So he might not talk to you, you know, the first few minutes until he figures you out. And I said, oh, I don't think so. There isn't a person that I can't. And I didn't see the wheelchair. I saw you.
Right.
And I remember you make, yeah, and I remember you talking over me to Wendy, and I'm like, hey, what's up? And I was so in your face that Wendy even told me later, she said, within 5 minutes, he was talking to you like he'd known you his whole life.
Uh-huh.
And I said to her, because I didn't see the wheelchair. For me, he was just sitting in a chair.
Exactly.
You know what
and
I mean? What difference does it make?
And that's what I'm trying, and that's what I want our listeners to know is, I'm just an average person.
No, but I don't know about the average part. I don't know about the average part. No, don't be lying to our listeners. I ain't nothing average about this man. But, you know, and that's the thing that I want to get across to our listeners. It's like, Chris, you have gone through hell and back. By what society tells us and some psychiatrist with 30 million degrees up on his wall, you should be this very miserable, unhappy person that hates people, that doesn't want to do anything, that just has hatred for God, hatred for everything because of the cards you were dealt.
Mm-hmm.
You're not like that. You said, okay, I got dealt the fact that I have to be a person to deal with disabilities in this way. We all have disabilities in one way or another. These are mine. I'm moving on. You know, you shared with us the fact that you were in foster care for a long time. That could have made you a very angry person. But instead, have taken it upon yourself.
I'm going to stop you right there for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you had just said,
mm-hmm.
I was feeling.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We all go
But what
it.
Broke me of that
mm-hmm.
feeling was there was this one foster care family that is in the middle part of Massachusetts
mm-hmm.
that is on a farm. And we know how we both love animals.
Oh, absolutely,
there was this black lab
mm-hmm.
who had came to the car. He heard me crying. He had come to the car, and I was still sitting in the front seat on the passenger side.
Mm-hmm.
And he put his head on my lap to say, hey, what's wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
And you want to know something? That changed me right away. That made me stop crying
mm-hmm.
And that he told me that it was going to be okay, that I would be here to protect you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no.
See, and that's the thing, Chris, that goes to show that if we want to listen to God and his messengers, because everybody, when they talk about a message from God, they think we're delusional or they think it's going to be this angel in this huge column of light. Sometimes God's messengers are going to be as simple as a black lab or a phone call or someone that gives you a smile.
Yes.
And it's up to us to decide what we're going to do. You could have shished the dog away. You could have kicked the dog. You could have told the dog to go take a hike. But
yeah, I could have done anything and everything to that dog, but I didn't. And
exactly.
The point I am trying to make is this.
Mm-hmm.
Look at yourself. Look at the environment around you. And if there is something you see that nobody else has seen, that is a sign to you.
Exactly. And, you
know,
it's funny,
that is one big sign to you.
It is. It is. And then it's, what are you going to do with it? I mean, and what you did is you turned the fact that you shared this with me and with our listeners, that you felt you didn't have a family of your own. So you went out and you created a family of your own. You treated everybody that you ran into with love and respect, and you made sure that they got the love that maybe they weren't getting anywhere else. That's what
mm-hmm.
you decided to do. You made a commitment to yourself and to God that you were going to make sure that nobody felt the way you had felt when you were sitting there crying and that little dog came over to you, or when you thought
this wasn't just a little
about.
No, this was a full-grown black lab. This was not a baby black lab. This was a full-grown adult black lab.
So God wanted to make sure you really saw the messenger, huh?
Yeah. So it was just
The thing, Chris. Go ahead.
To our listeners,
mm-hmm.
the point I am trying to make, and Cassandra did this earlier, and something told me today to listen to her show, even though it was maybe the ending of her show, but something pulled me to her show, mm-hmm. and that's why I wanted to really pull her to our show, so that way she could come to our show, listen to our show, and listen to these people, and help her to get to know what's out there.
Not only that, I think for that too, it's God's way of reminding me, because sometimes it's the messenger gets tired. Because
mm-hmm.
it's one thing, I know that in my life there are many times where I feel that I'm the messenger, but when I need a message, there's no one there for me. And not in a selfish way, or that I don't have great, amazing people around me, because I do, but it's just, that's part of it. You do. You give so much of yourself, and you're the same way, Chris.
Okay.
You give so much of yourself that sometimes you sit like that. But you know what? God does that. He sent Cassandra my way to go, you're not alone. There are millions of messengers out there giving the same message, sharing of your love, sharing of my caring for them. And she just uplifted me. I mean, I was just like, I'm tired. It's the end of the year. Let's goof off. I mean, she just uplifted me and pumped me up and inspired me and reminded me about how important what you and I do is and how important it is to God and how it is important to be able to reach out and touch someone if
mm-hmm.
we only do it but for a minute.
Yeah. And that's what I was, and that's my whole point is
mm-hmm.
to try to bring new people in our lives. And yes, I have been, because I have talked about my life, and there was one point that in my life that I felt like I was really alone,
mm-hmm.
like I had nobody. But that black lab changed me around.
See,
okay.
And that's the thing. That's what God. That was God's messenger to you, and He sent them to you in a way that you, because you love animals, that you would pay attention. Maybe at that particular time, if He had sent you a two-legged messenger, then you would have said, "Go away, leave me alone. I don't want to talk to you." Because
exactly.
of human nature.
At
but
the point
it was
that
a beautiful
I was making,
dog, yeah.
The point I was making is, I've been in foster care for a long time. I'm no longer in foster care, but I know what that system is like.
Right.
And at this time of year, it is hard for a lot of those kids. Okay? And that's why I am thankful.
Mm-hmm.
I am very thankful that you and I, Charlie, had gotten to know
mm-hmm.
each other, and we are still communicating to this day.
That's pretty funny, too. Talking about, not to interrupt you, but talking about God doing things in funny ways, I remember when I took that job, that contract for about a year, people were looking at me like I was crazy. They're like, "But they pay so little. Why are you taking this job?" And I honestly, I'll be honest with you, this is totally outside my realm. I had worked with people with disabilities very limited, even though I had, you know, medical assistant training, all this
mm-hmm.
stuff, and as a police officer, my training was very limited. And I guess maybe that was part of what drew me to it. I felt that there was a wall that I needed to get over able to relate. Yes, to be able to relate with people with disabilities and to see them as people, not as handicapped or mentally retarded or something wrong with them kind of thing. The thing that came out of it was, one, I mean, you're my friend. Which is crazy, because I remember when I was working and you were my client, couldn't socialize, couldn't, you know, because that's obviously not acceptable.
It was frowned upon.
It was frowned upon because it's a conflict of interest and the company didn't want to get sued, and I can totally understand that, totally respect it. But the cool thing about it, and I remember it was funny because my boss said to me when I told her that my time was up, she thought you were going to be one of the ones that was going to have the hardest time with me leaving. And I told her, absolutely not, because we're going to go from me being his, you know, work specialist and him being my client for a few hours a week to the fact that we can actually be friends all the time and people can't tell us not to be friends anymore. And
mm-hmm.
I think that did a lot for both of us as far as helping us overcome a lot of things. And you definitely were the great thing that came out of that.
Yeah.
And I think
and
God
does
that for a
reason. And that's what I was trying to get to in our show that we had did. A few weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
is that. And
mm-hmm.
I know
yep.
that I really do appreciate all our listeners. okay, mm-hmm. in that aspect, because you have to look at it this way. Whatever friendships, whatever, I was going to save this towards the end of the show, but I want to share it now. Whatever
yeah.
you have for a friend, make sure nothing happens to that friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going along with what you normally close with,
mm-hmm.
but in a totally different way.
Right.
Okay. You have, everyone has friends. But think of it this way. You have somebody special. You look at a certain person in a special way. I want to encourage everyone for 2010 who is listening to the show, wherever they may be, to look at your friendship with each other. And if you have a special friend, I want you to really let that person know that they are very special to you in whatever way they are.
And, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, too, because as we wind up 209, and again, we were talking earlier about with the recession and everything that was going on, people growing closer. We're very fortunate that, and I know it's funny, I guess, because you were in foster care, I was adopted, and I think that's one of the things that makes us the way we are, where I kind of, like, adopt everybody. And we have kids that have been part of our family for years, and they weren't, like, legally adopted or they weren't
right.
in foster care. They were just friends of my son's, and they were always over our house. And these are kids that are now in their late 20s, hitting on their 30s. They're married. Some of them have children. But they still call me mom, and we still have that family relationship. So what you're talking about is so special because it goes beyond the friendship, and it turns into being family.
Right.
And a lot of people are so hung up on, well, they're not my blood. Well, there's people that are my blood that, God forgive me, I can't stand to be in the same room with.
Mm-hmm.
Not because they're bad people, but because maybe they're too negative or they're too wrapped up in themselves or they lost sight
right.
of what's important. Yet there's people that don't look like me, aren't related to me, yet they're my family. And that's the thing that you're hitting on, and it's very important if we could focus more on that in 2010 of being reaching out and treating people like family, like the family
yes.
that we
and
cry over, the family that we get, you know, the family that Christmas songs were written about, the ones that we get so bummed out when we can't go home for the holidays, that
right.
kind of family. And again,
and go ahead.
Well, just to, before I let you interject, I have to put this in because my kids, we talk about this a lot. My husband and I, this is the second marriage for both of us. We've been married for 15 years now, and we brought two families together. He was married before, I had four kids. I was married before, I had the four kids, brought them together. And when you bring, quote-unquote, two broken families together, you have to remember that you really have to get rid of that they're not my blood stuff because that's stupid. They're
mm-hmm.
family. And to see how close they are and how much they love each other, that's
mm-hmm.
what we need to do in 2010. We need to remember that family is the people that we grow in our hearts. And talking about this is because I remember my son saying to me, if in the real world they consider him my stepson, but he's my son. To me, that's my son.
Mm-hmm.
He said to me, I really wish that, he's like, wow, we've done so much. Imagine if we didn't come from a dysfunctional family. So I start laughing. I said, sweetie, 99% of the families are dysfunctional in one way, shape, or another.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's all you focus on, then that's all you're going to see. Because
right.
you have to see beyond that. Because
exactly.
the reality is that there's a lot of people that come from quote-unquote functional families because they're not divorced. The family make good money. They get to go on vacation. They don't.
Mm-hmm.
They can't even stand each other.
Now,
I'm
going to ask you to say a phrase that we normally say
mm-hmm.
at the end of the show, because okay. what we're saying right now is really saying what you normally say
right.
at the end of the show, and I really would like for some of our listeners to really understand why you say what you say at the end of our show.
Well,
and I think that is the important piece that we're saying right now.
It's funny too, Chris, because that's actually, we talked about this before, and I think that's actually where the show got born out of. We went around the don't let anybody steal your dreams away. Because the reality is that we can use any excuse we want to have our dreams stolen. We could say, well, my parents got divorced, or my sister hates me, my brother hates me. I come from the bad side of town. My skin is too dark. My skin is too light. I'm too short. I'm too tall. I don't speak the right language. I don't have the right education. We can use any excuse we want, but the only person that can steal your dream away is you, because no one else can do it.
And you want to know something? That is one of I've been hearing you say that at the end of our shows lately, and it's just been really hitting the heart lately. Because if you think about it, and that's why I said to our listeners, if you have particular friends that are special to you, let them know that you're special. And if they're in your dreams, don't let those people steal your dreams away.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay,
and, you know,
and that's why I wanted
so
you to
important.
And that's why I wanted you to really say that phrase before the once before the end of the show, because and I really want us to focus on that for 2010 is make sure
it
that
is.
Nobody ever steals your dreams.
Right.
And
it's kind of cool that we're recapping this, and real quick, let me just give up. For our listeners, the show is actually going to go to 8:30. We're extending the show because we're recapping 2009 and the last three amazing months we've had on the Feminine the Rough show. And we have Mountain Man here sharing some of his amazing things that he's gone through and us recapping some of the emails and some of the people that we've actually encountered on the show. And in a way, too, we're actually breaking it down to our listeners where the idea came from, why we say the things we say, why we do the same thing, and why we're so passionate about what we're talking about and what the message that we're trying to get across. So if you want to call in, the number is 347-989-1473. Again, 347-989-1473. You can call in, have any questions, concerns, comments, just to say hi, Happy New Year, more than welcome to come in, don't be shy. The other way is if you go to our website, www.blogtalkradio.com/ordinary woman, and woman is spelled W-M-N. You can go into our chat room. You can ask questions there as well, or you can just hang around and listen to us talk about what it is that's going on. So, yeah, Chris, you were saying.
I was just saying how important it is for those people to know that their friends are important to them and to hold on to them. Because you never know when you're going to need that person.
That's absolutely true. And when we say about needing somebody, a lot of people always think materially, like, oh, I'm going to have to borrow money from them, or they need to give me a ride somewhere. No, it goes to needing
them. It goes
them
further than
if
that.
That's my, yeah, it goes. Like, I know, for example, with Mountain Man, if I needed to call him at 3 in the morning for whatever, he'll pick up the phone. If he needs to get a hold of me, good luck on that one, because I never answer my phone. But I know that if he put, yeah, good luck with that one. But I know that if he leaves me a message on my phone that says, I need you now, I will call him back. I will get back to him, because that's what friends do. And to let our listeners know, it's a credit to Chris, because I am not the easiest friend in the world, in the sense that I don't know how to make friends. I'm backing it up. Welcome, guest 3124. I am amazing at making friends. I am really amazing at making friends. I will talk to anybody. I love people. My problem is keeping friends. Not because I'm a bad person, but because I really have a hard time with letting that wall down from all the challenges that I went through as a child and from having had negative experiences where I did let the wall down with people and they wind up betraying me. So for me to let the wall down and let this person be my friend, it's tough. Let me tell you, it's tough, and it's a testament to the type of person Chris is, because he has been willing to understand that, to know that he needs to help me get through this, as opposed to if it was someone else go, you know what, I've called that woman 2 weeks in a row, she hasn't called me, forget her, I don't need the aggravation. Chris understands where I'm coming from, because you've been there yourself.
Right, and I really would like to, in the next couple of minutes here, if we can, Charlie, I know I've asked you on some other I know I asked you on numerous occasions because I haven't seen any emails, but I really would like to thank our listeners and answer a couple of our listeners' questions that we have.
Yeah.
I really would, because that...
Yeah, and that was the whole premise of the recap, and I think it's been a great show up to this point. I'm really psyched of the people that have stopped by and just the whole feel of it. And it's just, Cassandra, you just fired me up again to realize why we do what we do and the way the Lord wants us to do the things we do. And the fact is that, you know, people are funny. That's another thing that's skittish about is religion, and it goes to this email, which is funny because I think Mary 2321, you're in the chat room. I'm going to call her on the spot. Mary sent me an email a couple of months ago, and I apologize. I did email her back telling her we were going to get to it on the air. Mary made a comment to me on her email. She says, do you ever feel that people look at you differently when you start talking about God or religion?
Now, and I have to, yes. And I'm going to respond to that.
Please, because it's like, are you serious?
Think of it this way, Mary. You have to look at yourself, okay? Somebody's preaching to you, okay? They may be talking to you as a person, or you're maybe at church and you're just not really paying attention and you're just out in left field. But what I'm going to challenge you for this year, Mary, is take the teachings that is being provided. Really.
You know, and that's very good because it's funny because the question was, Mary asked me for guest 3693, welcome to the chat room. Mary sent me an email asking me if I felt that people looked at me differently when I talked about religion or faith or God, actually. And, well, obviously, if I jump on top of a car and start saying, the end of the world is near, repent or be damned, well, that would scare me. I mean, that's too out there. And that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with the people that preach the gospel that way. If that's how they're moved to share the doctrine, knock themselves out. Because as long as someone hears about God and makes them think a little bit, that's great. But the reality is that we're the ones that add the condemnation of being embarrassed if we talk about God.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is that God is part of who we are. I would be no more ashamed than saying, oh, look, my hair is brown, or oh, look, my nail is this way, or look, I have two legs and two hands. I have God, and that's who I am. And I think the line gets blurred when we start trying to shove our beliefs down other people's throats, and that's when it gets into the gray area. Talking about God, and talking about spirituality and faith is not the same thing as telling me your religion is wrong and mine is right. That's totally different.
Exactly. And that's
and I
where
would never
I'm
do that.
From. Because
exactly.
I've been through many different religious areas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I have not been to church for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a long while now. And it is because of I've been to several different places and religion. You have to find your comfortability in whatever religion it is.
See, and that's so important, Chris, because people forget that. Like, people will knock on a door and say, I'm from this faith and this is the only true faith. I am so glad for you that you believe that is your true faith right now. But that might not be my true faith right now. Maybe in a year, maybe next week, maybe tomorrow, maybe in an hour when I read what you give me, now it'll be my true faith. But the true faith for each person is what that true faith is to them at that particular point in time. And for you to tell me that the way I believe in God is wrong is an insult to the type of spirituality that I have, because God is not going to frown upon me if I love him with all my heart and I'm Buddhist. And my manifestation of loving God is through Buddha, or if I'm an LDS, or if I'm Catholic, or if I don't believe in God, say, per se, but I believe in a higher power, and I'm grateful for everything. So the reality is that when we start arguing those points, that's when we lose sight of it. That's when we totally miss the love of God for the sake of what we want to call him.
Right.
The reality is that My mother could live in a red house, a blue house, a yellow house. That's still my mother's house. It doesn't matter what color that house is.
And I hope we answered your question, Mary. My only thing is keep an open mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Take the person with a grain of salt.
Mind.
And it's funny, too, because I remember saying this to my boys, because my boys, obviously, boys have to push the boundaries of religion, and they're like, well, I don't believe in your faith. I'm like, you shouldn't. You should go get one of your own. And and people laugh at me like, but you're telling him to go find a religion. No, I told him to go find a faith of his own. My testimony and my faith is for me and will only carry someone else so much further. They have to go find their own. And I told my son, I would rather have you be the best Buddhist monk or the best practicing Orthodox Jew, as long as you do it with your faith and your heart and you love God with everything and you're righteous and you follow the commandments, than being some person in my faith that doesn't do things right, that doesn't love God, that doesn't glorify Him, because that defeats the purpose. It's the title, people. It's like what we were talking about earlier, where the mountain man doesn't say, I'm handicapped. No, he's Chris. He's mountain man. He is a person with disabilities. It's the same thing. It's a title. I am a person of God. Whatever way you choose to worship your God and to follow the commandments and whatever color house you decide to go to, that is on you, as long as you remember to keep God in your heart and to practice the true love of God. Because the other thing that got me in, and I'm glad Mary brought this question up, a couple months ago there were some protest groups in our area, and they had a sign that said, God hates. And I'm not even going to dignify what followed that with by mentioning it, but anytime
and I'd like to move on, if we can, just to keep...
Anytime the word God and hate are together, it's not of God, because God doesn't hate. So, Mary, you're absolutely, it's not. You shouldn't be ashamed of it, as long as you're comfortable with what you're talking about. And you know what? You don't have to shove it down anybody's throat. If you just want to pray before you eat your meal, go to it. If you have to do it quietly, that's fine. But that's things that you have to be comfortable with, because it's part of who you are, sweetie. You're religious. You love God. It's part of who you are. Bob, I see you're in our chat room, too. This is funny. Bob had a question for you, Mountain Man.
Okay.
He wants to know, he says, as you talk about the fact that you're a person with disabilities, do people have a hard time? Actually, he says, I don't know how to phrase this, so I put, do you have a hard time or do people have a hard time? Do you notice that people have a tendency to be ruder to you, or do they wind up being like more patronizing towards you because you do have disabilities?
I look at it this way, Bob. There are people out there who can be snobs, and there are people out there who would be willing to help me. And I have run through a lot of different people with a lot of different attitudes, but I don't take it to heart. I take it with a grain of salt, and I understand your question, and I hope I've answered, but I don't look at just anybody with one way. I look at the situation and what the situation is entitled, or what I look at it this way. Whatever the situation is, and if somebody is looking to help you, and if I can do it myself, I will. I will say, no, thank you anyways. Or if somebody is in the way, I would ask them politely to move out of the way. But and I think what you're asking, Bob, is the attitude of people towards me. And the attitude, I don't look at. Treat others as you would want to be treated is how I look at it.
And if that's a good point, me,
if you treat
noticed,
me...
Mm-hmm.
If you treat me with an attitude of negativity, then I'm going to treat you the same way. But if you treat me with respect that I deserve, then I'm going to, in return, give that back to you.
Yeah, it's funny, too, because talking about that, I've actually seen times where you've helped people out. I mean, you're in a wheelchair. And people might look like, oh, but I've actually seen you pick up stuff for people. I mean, so again, it's what we believe you can or cannot do, and I'm so glad that you don't let that affect you. I have a comment from Betty. Oh, she's in our chat room too. Hey, Betty, 3432.
Hello,
Betty, says,
Betty
motivates-
and Bob.
Yes, Betty and Bob. Betty, you asked me, why do I do what I do? That's a deep question, Betty. I do what I do because I have to. And I don't mean I have to because I have to, but I do have to. And I know I'm sounding confusing, but like Cassandra covered earlier, it's a calling. And to me, it's just something that I remember.
Now, is she asking you this question or is she asking me?
She's asking me. It's not just about you, Mountain Man. Someone loves me. Betty loves me. Everybody loves
me. I know. But I was just trying to get where the question... Where the
Mountain
the
Man,
was
get
going.
With the program. Pay attention. Pay attention. I know it's been a long show, but pay attention. No, Betty, actually the reality is I remember a couple of years ago, I am one of these people that I always felt like I was a jack of all trades, master of none. I just never really felt like I had found that one thing that I was good at. I mean, I was good at a lot of things, but not like awesome. Like I wasn't like a superstar athlete or an amazing artist or whatever. And my husband was the one that said to me, girl, you got the gift of gab, and everybody you talk to, you remember stuff about them. Like, I didn't think anything of it. I mean, I remember going to the supermarket and picking up the conversation with the cashier a week later where I left off, and he thought that was just weird. Not weird because I did it, but because I remembered. He's like, I can barely remember who it was, but you can say, oh, so how's your son doing, or how's this? So his thing was, and again, God will send us a messenger when we least expect it. He said to me, you have the ability to touch people's lives by sharing your story. He's like, you don't have to hit people over the head or be all preachy about it. You just say, look, this happened to me, something similar to what happened to you. So what are you going to do about it? Are you going to be angry? Are you going to be bitter? Or are you going to let it go? And one of the things that I did learn, Betty, was that if I stayed angry at the people that hurt me, they would win. They would so win. And the whole purpose of why God put me on earth would be totally gone. I mean, I'm sure God has many more adventures for me to live still. And if I'm sitting at home hating the world and reminiscing about all the negative things that happened to me, I'm going to miss it. And the best analogy, when I used to be a cop and I had to do road tests, I said, you cannot get very far if you got your eyes on the rearview mirror. You got to look straight ahead. Because eventually, if you keep your eyes on that rearview mirror, you're going to crash. So you want to keep eyes front, and you want to stay strong, and that's why I do what I do, Betty, because it keeps me pumped. It motivates me. I get to meet amazing people like you and Mountain Man and Cassandra and Roderick and, oh, my God, and Deborah and Amanda and all these amazing people that we've gotten to talk to this year.
Yeah.
All right, one more question for you, Mr. Mountain Man.
Really? Is it? Wow, it's getting down to that close, huh?
Yes, this is so cool. I love this question, but I hope your girlfriend doesn't get jealous. Okay, Linda wants to know, are you married? And if not, can she see a picture of you?
Well, the answer to the question is no, I'm not.
But,
but there is a young lady in my life who I love very dearly, and she's actually sitting in the same room as me right now with a friend of ours. They are actually over tonight while I'm on the show, and I am hoping for our next show, or our first show in 2010, that Charlie Alejandro and I can get together. So she can actually get a picture of us.
Right.
And be able to post it on our show.
We do. We need to post a picture because everybody, like, has been clamoring to see what Mountain Man. It must be your voice, Mountain Man. They're like, oh, he's cute. Like, back up, ladies.
And I appreciate everybody's questions. I really do. And I did.
I told you. God don't make junk. And that spirit of yours just shines right through.
And
one
I did
question.
Post something up in our chat room thanking everybody for our questions. I didn't know if you saw that in the chat room.
Yes, I did. I have one more question for Mountain Man. Let's see. I lost it. Where is it? Jamie wants to know, Jamie from Lynn. Hi, Jamie. I know you listen.
Hi, Jamie. Great to hear you.
Jamie wants to know, how are you doing? She knows that the surgery went well. She wants to know, how are you doing? How are you feeling? And is everything back to normal or better?
Everything is, and thank you, Jamie, for your question. I hope you're listening. However you may be listening, everything did go great. Everything is coming back in order. And I really do appreciate everybody's prayers. And I am not fully back at my full baseline yet. There are still some glitches that I am working on. And I hope to be, before the end of January, back to where I was before I went in for my surgery. Mm-hmm. And I do want to say thank you to everybody. And I know for 2010 that I will get to more of your questions and I will answer them, whether they be on the show or through email. I will have Charlie help me to get your questions answered for the year 2010.
Absolutely. And what I'd like to do with the little time that we have left, I would love to just recap some of the guests that we had.
Fine. And I was actually going to recap one of them, or a couple of them. I didn't know we had an owl in here.
There's an owl in the studio. What's going on? No, it's funny because I'm strolling down. I'm so funny. So technically, we started the show. I'm trying to remember now.
3 months ago. About 3.5 months ago.
We did. We started the second or third week in September, and I'm looking at the segment thing right here. And the first couple of shows, it was pretty funny because I had my son Alex. He was my co-host temporarily, and he was my begrudging co-host because he was on his days off, and he's like, but Mom! So, I wind up interviewing him. And just to recap some of the people that we had, it just blows my mind.
Before you go there, the two people I was trying to interject there, is Amanda McCarthy.
Yes, my girl Amanda. Oh, my
Amanda, goodness. You are so awesome.
Our listeners.
But also,
I
apologize, I cannot remember the person's name, but it is one of the people that we were going to try to help with a project for the Lupus Foundation.
Yes, I'm going to recap that now. So we had, and I just want to thank everybody for making the last 3 months so amazing. We had Alex Irahita. He talked about what his average life was in a blended family. It wasn't so average and growing up. We wind up talking to Natalie Martinez. Natalie Geraldo Martinez, she's a young woman with three kids who has been suffering with lupus for the last few years. And just sharing her amazing story. Not only that, do you know that she has an online website, which I'm going to get to the listeners on our next show. She is a woman with lupus. She has fibromyalgia, which she talked about, and some other illnesses that come along with that. She hand crochets the most amazing, and I have to say amazing, clothing items that you've ever seen. I'm talking baby dresses,
really?
Hats, booties, purses.
I give kudos to her.
Oh, my goodness. The woman is
I have
amazing.
To hold her up because
oh, yes.
She's such an amazing girl.
She is. And she said, you know what? She's like, I can either break down or wear out, and I'm going to wear out. She's like, I refuse to give in to it. And not only that, for our listeners, and she shared this with us, she refuses to take prescription painkillers because of the fact that she doesn't want it to affect the quality of life with her family. So she's controlling when she has flare-ups with over-the-counter medications, with her doctor, and with therapy, so she can be the best person she can be, not just for her kids, but for herself as well. She's like, I don't want to spend the rest of my life in a fog. We had Mel Alejandro, my husband. He shared his childhood stories. And
Mel.
Amazing stuff.
I got to stop you right there. Mel was an awesome, awesome guest.
I know. And
I have to really hold him up because without him...
Oh, my gosh.
This show really, really would not have taken off.
No, it didn't. He was a great, and the thing is, he was the one that said to me, there's no way I have anything to talk about for a whole hour. And, I mean, it just flew by, and we're like, whoa, we're going to have you back because we didn't even get to have all of it. Then we had Cardiac, an up-and-coming rap musician.
Yes.
He talked about his career, some of the music he's done with his brothers and his sister. We had Willie Moore, an amazing 20-year-old man that I met on the set of a movie. This kid was amazing. He actually wind up being a teenage dad, and he said, I have a
4 minutes to go.
Yep, he said, I could either drop out or get going. He stayed in school. He's in college. He's already the manager of Boys and Girls Club, and he's only 20. We had Sherry Chan. She's another amazing young woman. We talked about Natalie. We had you, Chris. Shelly Nunchucks. Oh, my
God. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh.
My buddy Shelly. She's one
amazing. She's a stunt woman, an actress. She's a comedian. She's amazing, amazing, amazing. She does her own stunts. I can't even go. David Paulson, he's another one. He was a mailman for years. He now heads up the MIT Screenwriters Group. We have Lorraine Calderon, True and Dear, my niece. She's amazing, an actress, a business owner. She talked about her amazing things. Oh, my goodness. Oh, Jay Giannone, an amazing young man. He was in The Departed. He created his own movie called Scalpers the Movie, www.scalpersthemovie.com. Go check it out. Oh, my goodness. He's actually friends with the Wahlbergs and stuff. Got to go to the premiere. Amazing. Then we had Mountain Man and Cardiac raising havoc there for a couple of shows. But anyway, I know. We don't talk about those. We had
three
Jeff
to
Sullivan.
Go.
Oh, I know. He was an amazing director, producer out of Maine. We had Amanda McCarthy that we talked about and her amazing family. We had three generations of McCarthy's all up in here with the Deborah Scatuto.
Raise the roof.
Oh, it was awesome. David Garfield, he's also a director, producer, amazing man. He just created a movie called The Suitcase. Everybody, you guys got to see that. It was great. Another incredible young man. I love Facebook. Half of these people, this is where I've met. I just love Facebook. Joe White, he created an incredible script called, I just blanked out, Finding Buster Brown. Oh, my goodness. They're in production phase right now, and that's going to be a great movie. He had Eric Eason, another incredible actor, John Hartman, another director. I mean, we just had so much talent. And then, of course, we had Rhea. Rhea's this 14-year-old singing sensation. She makes Mariah Carey sound like she's having trouble getting out of the box.
Uh-huh.
Little girl, you got to watch out for. Who else did we have? Oh, my goodness. We had ASG in the house, Erniston and Mako. They have these friends that they've created their own music. We had Papa Soul all the way from Chicago. People, amazing. He writes, directs, produces, films, edits, writes his own music, does all the voices on his show that he has of animated characters. Check him out. Just Google Papa Soul on YouTube. You check him out or go to our page. Incredible, incredible talent there. Does voiceovers. We have Tom Barnum, a local varsity girls basketball coach. God, his philosophy of coaching, if everybody treated people like that, we'd all be winners. Has created the most amazing basketball program at Low Catholic. Roger Wilson, another one. He was in the Navy for 20-something years. Actor, voiceover specialist. The guy looks like he's 30, but he's in his 50s. Amazing. I had my son,
one
Jose.
To go.
Yes, I know. I didn't get to him. So we had Jose. We had Crosby and Tantum. They created their own recording label. And we had Jesse, who's a ballroom dancer. Guys, check the website out. I'm tired. I'm tired, and I'm excited.
Come on, we can do it. Let's go.
Yes, and then we rebroadcast Roderick.
I got 90 seconds to go.
Yes. That was all our guests for the last 3 months, and 2010 is going to blow these guests out of the water. We're going to have them back, and we're going to have some more amazing people. So all I can say is have an amazing 2010. 29 rocked. 2010 is going to be better, and Mountain Man is going to cue the music, and do not let anyone ever, especially you, take your dreams away. Good night, everybody. Let everybody in the chat room have a safe and happy New Year.
All right. Have a great New Year, everyone.
Anxiety sets
pacing, I'm starting to pace. My nerves unsettle, sweat drips my face. Hands take, can't escape this decision I make. Heart racing, my faith says this is my fate. I'm just bracing, I take in the face of adversity. Tasting this certainty, the brakes ain't hurting me. Gain on a bomb, my pain stronger. Fame smarter, street smarter, train harder. Can't stop me, drop me, I'm not losing. I'm too fast, lightning even when I'm not moving. All heart, leave these cowards on cold. I'm hot, not to mention all the power I hold. Keep moving, keep training, headstrong, be patient. Meet them head to head, I don't care if it's the least safest. Not stopping, have a promise to prove. I'm a fighter, it's not an option to lose.